Good morning. Turn with me in your Bible this morning to the book of John, the Gospel of John, John chapter 6, verse 1. John chapter 6, verse 1. While you're turning in your Bible to the book of John, let me invite you to join us for worship Sunday morning at 11 here at Calvary Bible Baptist Church. And we want to have you come. We want you to be a part of our worship service, and we look forward to seeing you Sunday morning at 11. We also have an evening service at 6 p.m. And during the week, on Wednesday, we have a midweek service at 7 p.m. And that's our prayer and Bible study time. And we would love to see you there and all of our services or any one of them. We also have a Sunday school for the younger children that meets at 1:30. And we also have a youth group that meets at 3:30 on Sunday afternoon. So please come and join us for services here at Calvary Bible Baptist Church on Sunday and Wednesday. We look forward to seeing you then. John chapter 6, I want to begin reading in verse number 1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. Let's pray. Dear Lord, bless the message this morning. Bless those who are listening, Lord. I pray that you'd use me to be a blessing to them. And I pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would go out and speak to us, Lord, and do a work in our hearts. And Lord, may we give you all the glory and honor. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me and use me this morning. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In your name I pray. Amen. Here in John chapter 6, we read about one of the most spiritually significant miracles performed by Jesus during his entire earthly ministry. While Christ performed many mighty works, no other miracle was performed before as many people as was the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. This miracle is the only miracle recorded in all 4 of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So we know this was an important miracle that Jesus performed here. It's important because it shows us Christ's great power and omnipotence. It also points to Christ as the bread of life, as we'll see later, and it shows us in type how Christ would give his body and allow his blood to be shed so that sinners could have eternal life through his death, burial, and resurrection. According to verse 2, a great multitude of people followed Jesus, hoping to see him perform some great miracle. And while Jesus sat on the mountain with his disciples that day, the Bible says in verse 5, when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? This miracle is recorded in the Gospel of Mark, and the Bible says in Mark chapter 6, verse 34, when Jesus saw the people, he was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep without a shepherd. Jesus not only had the heart of a man, remember he was man, at the same time he was God, and having the heart of a man, he knew that these people needed physical nourishment. He looked out over that multitude of people, and he could tell that they were physically hungry and in need of nourishment. But remember, Jesus also was God, and he had the heart of God. And he understood that what they needed more than anything was bread for their souls. This multitude may have been hungry and famished physically, but more than that, they were hungry and famished spiritually, and they needed to be fed. Seeing the multitudes, Jesus turned to Philip, one of his disciples, and asked him the question, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Said, "Where are we going to buy bread enough for these people to eat? Where are we going to find and purchase enough bread so that this hungry multitude can have food to nourish and satisfy their appetite?" The Bible says in verse 6, Jesus asked Philip the question to prove him. 5,000 hungry men, plus women and children, made up a good-sized crowd of people. That's a lot of people. That's almost the entire village of Barrow. Remember, back in those days, they didn't have fast food restaurants on every street corner like we have today. Back then, there was no McDonald's or Burger King or Wendy's. And didn't have takeout or the drive-through neither. Bread was made by hand and baked in small ovens in those days. And there were these people, this multitude, and Jesus and his disciples, they were out in the wilderness, miles from the nearest town. No wonder Philip answered Jesus and said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them that every one of them may take a little. Philip said, Lord, all we have is 200 pennies and that's not going to buy a lot of bread. That's certainly not going to buy enough bread to feed this multitude of people. Instead of just saying, Lord, I'm not worried about the situation. I know you can handle it. You're in control. There's nothing too hard for you. Philip got all flustered. He got all worried. He got all concerned. He forgot who Jesus was for a minute because of the circumstances he found himself surrounded by. He forgot that it was Jesus who had turned the water into wine at the wedding in Cana of Galilee. He didn't recall the other miracles he had witnessed Jesus perform, and he didn't realize that this was a test of his faith in the Lord. And before it was all over, Jesus was going to prove to him and to the rest of the disciples that he was capable of handling any problem, any situation, or any difficulty that might arise. Philip, of course, being human, was too busy looking in the checkbook and getting discouraged because the numbers weren't adding up. And he forgot about looking to Christ to supply the need. While Philip and Judas were counting the money in the bag for the 19th time, in verse 9, Andrew says, "Hey guys, there's a lad here with some food. He's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. That's all he's got. That's the only food in this entire multitude." And he said, "But what are they among so many?" Those loaves were not the same loaves we might buy at the grocery store today. These were more like biscuits or small buns. And the fish were probably not much bigger than sardines. But little is much when God is in it. Amen. It doesn't take much to accomplish big things when what little we have is surrendered to Jesus. Christ can take what little we might have and turn it into more than we could have ever imagined. So few Christians have ever experienced the kind of blessing this little lad received when he gave his lunch to Jesus, because they're still holding on to their loaves and fishes. They're so afraid to let go and just let God. God can't bless and multiply their loaves and their fishes because they're unwilling to hand them over to Christ. God can't bless and multiply what we have unless we are willing to turn what we have over to Him. This lad was willing to give his small lunch to Jesus and then step back and watch Christ perform the miracle. He turned everything he had over to the Savior. He gave Christ his entire lunch. He even gave him the basket too. He watched the Lord turn what little he gave into more than was needed. Notice how he gave it all. He didn't hold anything back. He kept nothing for himself. Not one loaf, not one fish did this little boy keep. He gave all the loaves. He gave all the fishes to Christ to do with them whatever he desired. If more Christians would follow the example of this little lad here in John chapter 6 and just give God their all with no strings attached, Christ would be honored and glorified by their offering, and they would be surprised how God would turn that little amount that they would give to Him and multiply it and use it for His honor and His glory. When Christians make special sacrifices like the boy mentioned here in John chapter 6, God is pleased. God wants to take what little we have to give Him so He can multiply it before our very eyes and use it to bless others. And that's exactly what happened in this situation. Let me ask you a question. What's in your basket this morning? What is it you're holding on to today? Listen, there are multitudes of hungry souls out there in the wilderness waiting to be fed spiritually, and because so many Christians today have a selfish, it's all about me mentality, not wanting to give, not wanting to go, not wanting to sacrifice for the cause, not wanting to answer the call and say, "Here am I, Lord, use me, I surrender it all to You." People are dying every day and slipping off into hell. The truth is, God doesn't need what little we have. Do you think Jesus needed that lad's lunch to feed the multitude? No. God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He could have turned the stones into bread. But He didn't. Because God wants to use people, just like the lad here in this story, who are willing to turn all that they have over to Him out of a heart of love for Christ and compassion for others. God still desires to use human instruments today to take the gospel message to a lost and dying world. I don't understand it. I don't know why God would want to use human, feeble, weak, fleshy, imperfect instruments like you and me to do His work. I don't understand it. I can't comprehend why God would want to do that. But that's God's way. That's how God works. And He is willing to use anyone who is willing to be used. This little lad puts most of us Christians to shame today. Jesus didn't have to ask for his lunch. He didn't have to beg the boy to give him his lunch. He didn't have to plead with this lad to give his lunch over to him. No, the boy volunteered it. He saw that there was a need, and he said, "You know what? I don't have much, but you know what? If I give what I have to Jesus, He's God, He's the miracle worker, and He can do something with it." The boy volunteered his lunch. He gave it to God and he gave it all. He understood that it was God who had blessed him with the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes in the first place. It wasn't his to keep. God had given it to him so he could give it by faith back to God and watch the Lord turn it into more than enough food to feed 5,000 people, more than 5,000 people, including women and children. What an example this little lad is to us Christians today. The Bible says in verse 10, Jesus had the people sit down on the grass. And in verse 11, Christ took the loaves and the fishes, and after He had given thanks, He distributed the food to His disciples, who distributed the food to the people. The Bible tells us in Mark chapter 6, verse 41, when He had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, He looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to His disciples to set before the people. As Christ broke the bread and gave it to His disciples, a miraculous multiplication of the bread took place. There was a continual creation of bread. The bread was constantly replenished. Even though Jesus could have multiplied the loaves without breaking them, He broke the bread to show the necessity of His own broken body. The distribution of the loaves also shows us that the spiritual bread from heaven is sufficient for all people. When one poor, hungry sinner receives the bread of life, there is no less bread than before. God's marvelous, miraculous grace abounds for all. And when one sinner is saved, that does not lessen the grace of God. There is still as much as there was before. Jesus is the bread of life. His body was broken on the cross of Calvary, and His blood was shed for us. We are saved and satisfied by receiving His Word, and His precious blood washes away all our sin. The Bible says in verse 12, they were filled. The multitude was filled. The multitude had been satisfied. The miracle was real. And after the people had finished eating, there was still food left over. The Bible says in verse 13, they filled 12 baskets full with food, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. What started with a large, small lunch of 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes ended up being a great feast with 12 baskets of leftovers and a full and satisfied multitude. Listen, Jesus will fill you up spiritually. He won't leave His table hungry. Because unlike this world and its pleasures, all the sex and the drugs and the alcohol, Jesus really and truly satisfies. Jesus said in verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. The miracles of the loaves and fishes had prepared the way and set the stage for Jesus to announce Himself as the bread of life sent down from heaven. And He began that announcement by telling the people not to waste their time laboring for things that have no eternal value, but for the things of God which lead to everlasting life. Jesus told the people in verses 32 and verse 33 of John chapter 6, My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Christ is the true life. He is the true vine. He is the true bread from heaven that gives man everlasting life. Christ is all sufficient to meet man's spiritual needs. He is the bread of God, the living bread. And anyone who comes to Him in faith will never hunger or thirst again. Jesus said in verse 35, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Christ is the bread that satisfies the hungry sinner. He is the living water that satisfies the thirsty soul. Jesus alone can satisfy, and no sinner can ever find true peace and satisfaction outside of having a right relationship with Jesus Christ by faith in His finished work on the cross of Calvary. Men and women without Christ are forever seeking something to satisfy the emptiness inside of them, but to no avail. Because nothing and no one outside of Jesus Christ can fill that void. Bread is a staple of life. Physically speaking, bread gives nourishment to the human body. It gives strength and sustenance to the human body. As the bread of life comes down from heaven, Christ is to the believer spiritually what physical bread is to the human body. Christ communicates His life to us. He becomes a part of us. He dwells in our hearts. He becomes the strength of our soul. He is the complete and adequate supply of our every spiritual need. Men cannot live without physical food. We know that. But the Bible says man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Just as we cannot live or exist without physical bread, we cannot live or exist spiritually without Jesus Christ, the bread of life. All who come to Christ, all who come to Jesus with a hungry heart, find their hunger satisfied. All who come to Him thirsting after righteousness are filled. God's Word promises that those who hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. What that means is that Christ is able and willing to supply the need of man's soul and spirit. Jesus gives a peace to His children, a peace the Bible says passes all understanding. He gives them grace that is sufficient in every situation, and He has promised never to leave them nor forsake them. God's terms of salvation are simple. Come to Christ. Repent of your sins. Believe on Him. Trust Him by faith and receive Him. Doesn't matter where you're from. Doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter where you've been. Jesus loves you. He died on the cross for you to keep you out of hell. He wants to be your Savior today. This is Pastor Darrell Serino of Calvary Bible Baptist Church reminding you this morning that burdens are lifted at Calvary.